afternoon. Happy Monday. I hope that you had a very blessed weekend. I hope that you were able to get enough rest. I hope that when you woke up this morning to begin your work week, or maybe you don't work, but maybe you have, you're the type of person that you always have a lot of errands to run, a lot of places to go, people to help. I know a young lady who's like that. She retired years ago, but her plate is so full, and it's full of good things, positive things, helping people. And those are the schedules that I like to see. Those are the agendas that I enjoy knowing about, because they give me inspiration to let me know that my day can be filled with more than just get up, go to work, come home, and then go to sleep, and then wake up just to do it all over again. So I want to say to you that I pray, and I really do hope that your day, the beginning of your week started off fresh, and that you can think about what happened on last week and say, you know what, I'm going to critique that. I have a better way to work. What do they say? Work smart, not hard. So that's good news, because we can know that God wants us to do everything with balance. He wants us to do everything in such a way where everything is in order, where we don't tire ourselves out. Well, I want to encourage you about church. Let me first of all say that so many times the enemy will do things, he'll bring things, and he'll keep doing it in a pattern where it becomes normal for him to bring those things in your life. Allow those people to cross your path, because he knows that it is a way that is going to shut you down. It's going to cause you not to walk in who God created you to be. And if I had to give my, if I were preaching behind a pulpit, and you know how they say today's message is entitled blah, 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 blah. If that were me, I would title this message, "The Church is Doing Too Much." The church is doing too much. And I'm going to try to keep this quick, and I'm going to try to keep this simple based off of my testimony and the things that I have either seen, heard from a credible source, or something that I have gone through. So, many years ago, I was involved in a body of believers. I'll call them, you know, still the body of Christ. And this is one of the ways that you can tell when the church is doing too much. When you have a guest speaker, and that guest speaker calls for the $5 line, the $20 line, the $100 line, and then the line of, oh, well, just whoever can give whatever, we got that line over here. That's when you can tell that the church is doing too much. Number two, a way that you can tell when the church is doing too much, when the guest speaker comes in, and isn't it funny that they can rebuke every person in the audience, but not one rebuke from the leadership? That's a way when you know that the church is doing too much. Number three, when you have a guest speaker come in and do weird things, like have the leader take off the shoe that they're wearing on the left foot or either the right foot, place it on the stage and tell everybody, walk around and stuff this shoe with a $100 bill until this shoe overflows. That's another way when you can tell that the church is doing too much. Number four, another way when you can tell that the church is doing too much, when the guest speaker comes and tells everybody to take their shoes off and leave their shoes on the altar. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so you telling us that we got to leave here barefoot? It makes no sense. What if you have children that the parents are unlearned enough and don't know enough about the word of God to have their kids take their shoes off and put those shoes up on the altar? Now you got children leaving the church barefoot with no shoes on. They could catch a cold. A number of things could happen. That's another way when you can tell that the church is doing too much. Number five, another way you could tell when the church is doing too much when the wife gets up and rebukes everybody on the pastor's birthday because you did not get rims to go on his personal vehicle that he had when you joined there. That's how you can tell when the church is doing too much. Number six, when the pastor gets up behind her and doesn't have any sympathy for the brutal verbal beating that the church just got and does not give any type of compassion, does not let the crowd know, the audience know, that I truly appreciate everything that you guys were able to do and whatever you gave me, I am truly humbled that you gave it to me. When that doesn't happen, that is a way when you can tell that the church is doing too much. Now, let me say this. When the church is doing too much, when you can't go to this person and say, you know, I've been watching you and I prayed about this and I want to bless you with such and such and such and such. And then the leadership finds out, and the next thing you know, you're being pulled to the side because you had to get permission to bless brother so-and-so, brother such-and-such, or sister Bumblebee with what God put on your heart to do. That is another way when you can tell that the church is doing too much. If you are being led by the Spirit of God, there's going to be good fruit behind it. But if you're doing something because you want to be seen, you want to be heard, you want to be a part of the in crowd, guess what? The fruit is going to show behind that too. But a lot of times what I have witnessed is, it's not that you're doing something out of order by wanting to be a giver, but it is because either number one or number two, you didn't give it to the leadership, or number two, you didn't give it to somebody that the leadership is in connection with. That is another way when you can tell that the church is just doing too much. And there are other things that I could say, but I won't. My prayer is that the church really began to seek God and say, God, show me, point out those things to me, make my discernment more keener, make my hearing more keener, so that I can be able to tell when the church is doing too much. And then people wonder why the altars are not flooded. People wonder why people stay away from the church and they seek God on their own, by themselves, because let me tell you, it is good for us not to forget to assemble together with other like-minded believers. But let me tell you this as a witness. I am a witness that God himself will pull you away because the church is doing too much, and he will begin to speak to you and show you and point out, remember when such and such and such happened in the church? That was me trying to show you that the church is doing too much. Remember when so-and-so-and-so came to the church and you know that they needed help, but that person was turned away? That is when the church, I was trying to let you know that the church is doing too much. When you have people who come to church and they don't know if their car is going to make it to church, they don't know if they are going to make it home with their children, they're riding the bus, they're getting rides to come to church, they don't have food to eat. The church can have a discernment for everything else but somebody that has a need. We're supposed to be able to discern everything else in the church, but when it comes to blessing the people of God, and let me say this, and this is just my opinion, it doesn't have to be a person that's at the church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, follow the pastor wherever he goes, blesses the pastor's wife and his kids every time you turn around. It could be somebody that just came to fellowship. It could be somebody that just came to fellowship, but a spirit of discernment needs to be on somebody where they can tell if that person is hurting, where they can tell if that person is in need. And sometimes it can be just a brief conversation that you have with that person, that visitor. And you telling me that I have to go and find I have to go find the pastor. I have to go find a department head to say, you know, I know this person needs gas in their car, but, you know, is it okay if I, you know, if I bless them? It just doesn't sound right to me. It doesn't sound right to me. Now, we don't need to turn the church into a social club. No, we do not. That's part of the problem, and that's part of how you can tell when the church is doing too much. When it's about, how are we going to go over here and go meet up at Chicken Express? Oh, let's go over here and go shoot pool. Or, you know, let's go over here and get together and have a potluck. You begin to fall into a format of, let's get together. Really, what you're saying is, let's get together, kick back, cross our legs, talk about everything, and before you know it, God has faded slowly out of the equation. You don't see people surrendering their lives to Christ at a potluck. You don't see people surrendering their lives to Christ at when you go to shoot pool or go shoot some hoopies. You don't see that, because that is a way that we need to be certain that the church is not doing too much. And I agree. And with those of you who have said, well, we don't want to turn the church into a social club. No, we don't. I've seen that happen before. And let me tell you, God gets no glory out of that. But in everything we do, we want God to get the glory. And God asked me about 2 years ago, he said, if I don't get the glory, what's the point? So you may be saying, Keisha, what are you trying to say? What I am trying to say to you in all humility is, we have to pray for God to sharpen our senses, our hearing, so that we can distinguish what is him and what is not, and when the church is doing too much. It can't just be about coming every Sunday, hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God and we do nothing with it. Oh, girl, the pastor sure did make us shout. Oh, the pastor sure did. You know, he sure did bring a good message. But are you applying it to your life? And is what you are hearing giving God glory? Because some leaders get up just so that people can say, oh, pastor, you sure did preach. And that's it. Because now you've boosted up his little manhood, his little ego. Now he can walk like a peacock with his chest stuck out, you know, showing all his colorful feathers. And God gets no glory. I think a peacock is the animal with all of the colors. Now, I'm not of the animal kingdom. I don't know all of the animals and what they do, but I think the peacock is the one with all of the colorful feathers. But, you know, you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. Now, more than ever before, the church needs to be alert. And if you are new in Christ, please, 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 I am begging you, please be cautious, be careful. Sincerely pray to God and say, God, I'm new in Christ and I don't want to experience the things that I've heard. I don't want to experience what I'm seeing in social media. God, what do I need to do to get my keening a little more sharper? What do I need to do so that I can stay focused on you, so that I don't waste time in a church, in a building where you are not being glorified? And it's all about a meet and a greet. Meet and greet means when, like I said, let's make it a social club. Let's every Friday we're going to get together and we're going to go out to eat. And before you know it, God is slowly taken out of the equation. We want to be certain that whatever we do, that Christ is involved in it, because we don't want to waste time someplace where God has not ever told us to be in the beginning. So I hope I have said something that has blessed you and that has, you know, caused you to put up a red flag in your own life and say, you know, I had a feeling. Something was telling me that when they were doing that in the church, something just didn't sit right with me. And if you are truly seeking God's heart, it's not going to be envious. It's not going to be jealousy that's causing you to sit back and say, girl, it was something about when she gave Sister Bumblebee that $50. It was something about that that just didn't feel right to me when they presented her, just because she a department head. We should be honored to be a blessing to somebody else. We should be honored. We should be happy when someone asks us to be a part of making someone else's day a little bit brighter. And guess what? It doesn't have to be that person that you like. I think think you even get blessed more when it's a person that you know has an ought against you. So there'll probably be a part two to this, but I hope that you have been blessed. And please know, out of my experiences, that God got no glory. God never told me to be a part of a certain group. I joined something and I joined it just because somebody else joined it, trying to make that person happy. Let me tell you, God gets no glory from that. And you waste precious time when we probably just need to wait a little bit longer to hear God's voice. And then let me say this. I believe, this is my opinion, it doesn't take God 10 or 15 years to tell you if you are in the wrong place, to tell you if you're in the wrong relationship. A lot of times we want to stay to please people because, well, you know, he said and she said that I need to be here. But what does God say? Well, you know, he said that she said that I need to be a part of this ministry. But what did God say? What is God telling you to do? So sometimes it's good just to wait a little bit longer. But then on the flip side of that, when your flesh is attached, 10 or 15, 20 years passed and went, and you're still someplace. And it's not to say all the time that God is saying that everybody there is no good. And, you know, God ain't saying that, but he just may be saying, you know, they're okay, but this is not where I want you to be. The need that I have for you to meet is down the street at Church A. And let me say this. I really wish this could be a worldwide message. When God tells you to leave a place, it can be a relationship, it can be a job, it can be a church. When God tells you to move, do it and don't worry about what the people say. Because check this, when you're at that place, don't you know they're saying something about you even when you're there? And when you leave, let me say this to the people who are left behind. Sister Bumblebee says that, you know, God is telling me to move on. I don't leave. No. And I've been in this situation. I don't leave any hatred here. I'm not upset with anybody, but I'm being pulled away because there are some things I need to take care of. But in the meantime, while God is pulling you away, make sure that you are doing things to stay in the presence of God, that you're connected to a body of believers that will pour into you, give you the word of God, and let you know. There may even be have some people in your body of believers, your circle, that are more seasoned than you, that can direct you and redirect you. That is, I'm so blessed to have that outside of the church building. And so for you all who are left behind, please don't cut people off because you're not going to see them every Sunday. I have, where I live now, I think I have joined, and I've been where I'm at since 2007. This is 23. And in that time, I was at one church for a little over 7 years. Then I wasn't anywhere for a long time. And then I joined a place just because somebody else joined. Then I had to pull back. And then I went back when I felt like God gave me clearance to go back. And I stayed, I guess maybe it was like a year, but then so many things started happening in life that I had to pull away again with God's permission. And I stayed out a year and 6 months. So that's two churches and then another place where I stayed like 6 months. So from 2007 to 2003, I kind of gave you a little bit of history because I don't believe in going from church to church to church every week, every month. You going to another church. You've been in every church in your city. And I just believe it doesn't take God that long to speak to you. But anyway, so when a person decides to leave whatever place that it is, especially the church, those who are left behind, and you have called this person your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ. But when that brother or sister in Christ says that they're making a change to pull away, please don't cut that person off. Please don't stop communication with that person. I have seen so many times, more times than I care to admit, when a person pulls away from a church and you do it, you know, you do it and you let, you know, certain people know, hey, I just, you know, I'm leaving, and best wishes I wish to you. Just kind of basically, I'm trying to be careful with my words because I don't want to go in too deep. Because it's not necessary to go in too deep. But you do it and you don't leave angry. You don't leave where you caused a big old disturbance in the church. You left quietly is what I'm trying to say. You left quietly and you left in peace. Okay. Please, those of you who are left behind, please don't cut that person off because you're not going to see them in a building every Sunday. That breaks my heart. And it really makes me think, if you really believe that I was a sister in Christ when I was there, it really makes me think when you were calling, old brother so-and-so, yeah, he go over here to church with us. And then when God takes him in a different direction, even if he left on his own, who are we to cut them off from the body of Christ because we don't see them in a building anymore? You don't get a phone call. You don't get a text. Oh, well, you know, they got to reach out to us. Who died and made you Saint George or Saint Sarah? Who died and told you that people have to come and sit at your feet? Not nobody. But because that's that thing that we do unawarely, where when a person leaves the church, we cut off all communication. We don't check on them. We don't see about, they left and, when I don't have time, they going to have to come to me. I don't run in behind nobody. Nobody. And it doesn't take you to run to send a text message. It doesn't take you to run to pick up the phone and call. And I'm not saying this in anger. I'm saying this in frustration. Because there are things that the church is doing where the church is doing too much. And please don't let the people who are left behind find out that the leader's not having nothing to do with the person that left. If the person left in good standing. Now, if the person left and caused all types of chaos and stuff, I could see you being a little bit hesitant. But especially if the person left in peace. Who are you to come? Because what people do is they are not following what God is telling them to do. They are following what their leader is or is not doing. Well, that's my pastor and I got to do it. Does not the Bible say that it is better to obey God than man? I'm just saying, I'm not no Bible scholar, but I believe that the word says that. And I say that in all humility. So please, if somebody leaves the body of Christ, please don't cut connection off with them, because you don't know, that may be the time that they really need you to be the church. But what are we doing? Cutting people off just because we don't see them every Sunday. And if I don't hear my pastor saying, calling so-and-so's name no more. So girl, I'm not going to call him, because if the pastor find out I'm calling so-and-so, I don't want him to be mad at me. That's when you know that the church is doing too much. I hope that I have said something that has blessed you, encouraged you. And I know I sound just a little bit upset. I'm not angry. I'm frustrated with the church. And I hope that you can hear my heart behind this. Pass this podcast to someone that you know they need to hear this. They may be the person that's praying, feeling like God has told them to leave a job or a church already, but they need that confirmation. And then it may be somebody that needs to hear that they are obeying man more than they are obeying God. So be kind to somebody this evening just because, and know that better, greater, it is sooner, not later. You all be blessed. I love you. Bye-bye.